On the line now is Steph Blackwell. She was a finalist in the 2019 series of the Great British Bake Off. A sports and health enthusiast, Steph is outspoken about the importance of self-care and mental health well-being. Her book, The Joy of Baking, encourages you to become absorbed in the everyday magic of transforming a few simple ingredients into something utterly delicious. Welcome to the show, Steph.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Good. Yeah, fine. Thank you. Fine. And how has life been for you since being on the show, The Great British Bake Off?
Well, I'm sure, as for everyone, like the past, 18 months has been quite different to how it all sort of kicked off at the beginning.
Yeah.
So, it was all a bit of a whirlwind at the beginning of like being thrust into this world where you're like, oh, okay, so things are a bit different now. But, personally, nothing really changed that much in the sense that I was just, I never went into the show with any sort of idea of what I wanted to do or whether it was like going to be an avenue to anything. It purely was a bit of a, well, this will be fun, I'll enter it, and the rest was kind of like a massive whirlwind. But I think the opportunities I've had sort of afterwards have just been, I'm just so grateful for them. But it's all just a case of like, I don't know, you live every day does become a lot more sort of up in the air.
yeah, I bet. And it's good that you really understand and are an advocate for the importance of self-care and mental health well-being, because it can be a real shock suddenly going on a primetime television show and getting all this attention from the public, good and bad. It can be difficult to deal with.
Yeah, sure. And like I've suffered in the past with my mental health, and I think I don't know whether that kind of stood me in good stead coming out of the show, because I kind of was already aware of, you know, what the potential to have the ups and downs of sort of heightened stress occasions like that. But I didn't really expect quite how hard it would be, and I'm not going to lie, I have struggled particularly. I think it's that pressure, that external pressure you perceive, you know, you suddenly got people following you on social media, and I think that's the hardest thing. And it's a case of feeling like you have to adhere to what their expectation is, even though you don't really know what their expectation is. And certainly that's something that I have struggled with. And I guess the whole point of me sort of turning to baking in the first instance was that it was kind of my mental respite. And it continued to be that, although with a little bit more stress. as I came out of the show.
Yeah. I mean, were most people nice to you on social media?
Oh my god, yeah, I've been so fortunate, and I don't know why I've been lucky enough to be like that. You know, I know it can be such a scary place, and maybe it's because I get really anxious when I post anything on social media, so I guess I don't do it that often, and when I do, I kind of just, you know, I get bare my soul a little bit. But I think it is. I've been so fortunate, and I'm just so grateful for that.
Oh, that's lovely. So tell us about your experience then on the show. How did you find the whole experience? Was it quite daunting?
Amazingly daunting. Yeah. Like again, I think. When I was told that I was going to be on the show, I was like, guys, are you sure? Like, I'm not sure I'm up to this. And they were like, no, you're good enough. I was like, okay. and then everything, I guess, I've been speaking to a few people about this after the event. I guess I did athletics as a child, and the part of it that I enjoyed was the sort of competitive element where it was like, turn up, you do what you do on the track, and then that's it. It wasn't a case of me wanting to perform ever. I wasn't there for performance as much as, like, you know, performing in an acting role. It was more a case of I went in, I did my work, and then I came home again. And that was exactly the kind of mentality that I went on to Bake Off with. And I guess in the sense that I just never wanted to let anyone in who'd put the selection team, I didn't want to let them down. And they didn't have any, they put zero pressure on me in that respect. But I was like, but they've been so nice to me. They've given me this amazing opportunity. I've got to not let them down now. And I guess that I just went in with this mindset that was, I've got to do my best the whole time. And I kept it fairly simple, but I found it so stressful because, I think when you're you're doing it, but, well, I mean, I did it for myself, but I definitely felt like I was doing it to make sure that I lived up to this expectation of people that I'd made up.
Yeah.
But the other side of it was that I had some amazing, I mean, I've not laughed as much in my life and made some really good friends. And I think the crew were it was just unbelievable how supportive you were, really were in this little bubble of just amazing people.
Yeah, that's nice.
And that was just incredible. So you never felt like, it never felt horrible.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. So it helped with your confidence, really, in a way.
No, I'm just low in confidence, and that's never something that's been massively heightened. I don't know why. It should have done. I'm just not really a confidence-lifted person. I don't know. It just is one of those things, isn't it? I guess it's integral to me that I just, I do really struggle with my confidence. I think I learned so much as well from other people, and it was just, and I don't just mean about baking, it was just life. You just learn so much being around such an incredible group of people from every sort of avenue. You've got sort of bakers, you've got the cameramen, you've got people that have travelled for miles around, and it was really enlightening. And for somebody who I'd sort of lived quite in a sort of bubble back at home, and I hadn't really stepped out of my comfort zone that much, particularly since I'd been sort of involved in my sort of athletics side of things. And so it was so, I found that so, you know, interesting. So, yeah.
Yeah. And with regards to all the different tasks that you have to do on the show, I mean, when we're watching it, so much of the things that you're asked to do, we're like, oh my goodness, how on earth are they going to do that? You know, have to do really impressive, intricate things in a short space of time. How did you find it? What was the most daunting task that you had to do?
I think some of the things that were really sort of wild and out there in terms of you'd never heard of them before, and they were, but they were also things that we as maybe a sort of, you know, as we don't necessarily, particularly from my perspective, I'd never tried before. So we had to make this kek lapis cake, and it was like a layered cake, and it was just the most bizarre thing in the world, and I didn't know what it was meant to taste like. And I'm sure when made properly it is delicious, but I was not convinced, because the first attempts were more like, I think my mum referred to it as like a door wedge.
They weren't
great. And we had to make some Indian desserts, milk desserts, that we had to like boil milk for ages. Again, I believe that, or I understand that it's delicious, but there wasn't anywhere local that I could go and try some, so I was very much going blind in terms of what I was meant to be achieving. And I guess the only asset I had was that I was like, okay, so if I make it taste nice to me, then, you know, hopefully it is vaguely like it's meant to be. But those were definitely the hardest things.
Yeah, but you were awarded Star Baker, was it 4 times?
Yeah, God, that seems like well in the past now. But yes, I don't know how that happened at all.
Because you were the best.
Oh, shut up.
Well, you must have been. I mean, so when you won then the Star Baker each time, were you confused and baffled how you'd managed to do it?
Utterly. Like I said, I mean, I went into it and we had a holiday. We always go on holiday at the same time, my mum and I, every year at sort of end of April, beginning of May. And I really needed it, you know, and you're just like, I really need this holiday. And Bake Off, obviously, it coincided with it. And we couldn't have gone if whatever. But I did the first week, and we were like, well, I'll be out week one and we'll still be able to go. This will be fine. And when I got through week one and I rang Mum at the end of it, I was like, Mum, I'm still in. And she was like, oh, good grief. She was like, oh, no. And then we were like, well, wait one sec. Okay, if biscuit week didn't turn out all right, we still might be able to go, because we go and meet friends there. And I was so desperate to see these people. And I was like, okay, so we might be still be able to do this. It'll be a very, like, last-minute thing. And then when I got through biscuit week as well, we were just like, right, this isn't happening, is it? So that's how much I was not prepared for any success on the show.
Amazing. So what was it like being in the final? I mean, so unlucky that you didn't win, but getting to the final is pretty impressive.
Well, again, I think it was such an like, I think some people potentially do go on it, maybe with the, you know, that dream of, oh God, imagine if I won. For me, it was, you know, you've already heard, I had low expectations to begin with. So each week I got through, it was more a case of I'd get to the end of a Sunday and I'd be, you know, like, you know, a coiled spring in the car on the way home, like, this happened and this happened and this happened. And then you'd literally have to roll into practicing the next Monday morning. You know, my hair was washed once a week and usually there was a lot of cake in the shower when I did the wash. And, you know, it was just, it was 100% like, just, you were on this sort of treadmill. And again, it kind of came back to a kind of work mentality where you didn't quite know when work was going to end, but you were very much in that mindset. And that didn't detract from the sort of highs of the experience and the occasional low. But it was more that, you know, I did literally just live from one week to the next. And by the time you get to the final, again, it was almost like one too many, because we had one fewer days to prepare because there was a bit more filming that had to go on. And I think I really needed it and I was so tired. And I remember with my GCSEs, my mum always says there was, I think physics was my last exam. And I really enjoyed physics and I was quite good at it. But because it was the last exam, I think I was just like, right, I'm done now. I don't need to bother with this one. And it was the only one I didn't do quite as well in. And so it's that kind of thing where you take your foot off the pedal right at the last. But I just think I was just so tired. And it was just almost like a finish it. And I think I just about managed that, but that was it.
Yeah, fair enough. So with your book, The Joy of Baking, what was the kind of thought process behind this? What sort of book were you trying to create?
I'll be totally honest. I was approached to write the book. It wasn't really my idea in the first place, but I think I'd come off Bake Off and I was like, I'm not writing a book. No one would want to read anything that I write. And then as the sort of year had gone on, I'd become more aware that people were following me because, you know, of my sort of relative openness about my mental health. And I guess it kind of felt like something to share that baking had been something that had been such a sort of mindful thing for me. And so I'd kind of had that sort of mentality. I was like, oh, what about a book that was, you know, about sort of baking for your, you know, your mental health? And when I got this email through, I remember reading it and I was sat on a bike at the gym reading my emails because, you know, I work really hard when I go to the gym. And and I remember reading this email from this lady and I was like, this is a joke, you know. I thought it was a hoax email, but I replied to it, yes, of course, tell me what your thoughts are. And the rest was history. And she was the most incredible woman ever, Philippa. She was just such a lovely lady. And she supported me through the whole thing. But essentially, it was, you know, a case of looking at how sort of baking can sort of help us completely slow down and embrace or, you know, switch off from the hustle and bustle of life and calm, meditation, mindfulness, all those things you hear. But I think a lot of those words get flung about quite a lot. And for me, I'm not very good at just sitting down and, you know, listening to my or acknowledging my breath or being present in the moment. I have to be doing something.
Yeah.
But when I'm baking or when I'm doing something that involves baking, it's the only time that I genuinely switch off. And I think even when it goes wrong, the process that's led up to it going wrong is enough to give you that therapy that sort of therapy that I need. And when it goes right, I mean, I'll live off baking a pizza and it being good for a good 24 hours after the event. And then if I've still got some left over, it will continue into the next day. So that is decent therapy, if you ask.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then the only issue is that you have to do it on a daily basis. And that can get quite costly after a little while.
Yeah. I was going to ask you how often you baked.
It does vary massively. And I'm got a bit of the luxury that I'm at home quite a lot at the moment, so I can, you know, basically choose to go and tinker about in the kitchen when I fancy, but sort of every other day. Like I said, it does vary, but I don't bake, honestly. You'd think that I was making masterpieces. I really don't, and things go wrong all the time. Again, this illusion that when you've either been on a show like that, or I assume as well, chefs and bakers alike, there are as many things going wrong as there are right.
Yeah.
It never really matters that much.
And I'm interested to know whether you make healthy alternatives to things, because when I think of baking, I think of cakes and things that aren't healthy, you know, with lots of sugar and butter and things. And I just think if I was really good at baking, then I'd probably be the size of a house because I'd just be eating cake all the time. So it's probably good that I'm not particularly good at it. How do you manage to stay so slim?
Firstly, I think we need to redefine healthy, because I've suffered in the past with an eating disorder, and I think that you have to acknowledge that everything in moderation is, you know, 100% fine. And actually, I think the more you make, 100%, if you make something yourself and you know the ingredients that have gone into it, there is much less focus on that being, if you want to call it, unhealthy. But less nutritious, you know. There are, if you make a cake that comes from all the separate ingredients being butter, flour, sugar, eggs, you know, a drop of milk or whatever, you know, all those things eaten in isolation are not too bad. You know, you put butter on your bread and you probably wouldn't really think that that was a bad thing. So I guess in that respect, I kind of look at things as equal, you know, as equal as possible. But there are certainly ways that you can add things to food to maybe enhance their nutritional profile a little bit. And this is purely a preference thing, I like fruity desserts, fruity cakes. Carrot cake would be one of my favourite cakes. It's just got so much more complex flavour, and you can definitely use as much fruit, veg, and then add raisins. You can add nuts, you can use a bit of wholemeal flour, and all those things definitely would maybe lift in terms of, like I said, the nutritional profile of the food.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't taste good, then we're not doing it. So, you know, that's the kind of, like, I guess there's a line to be drawn. But definitely, if you can experiment with adding things, I always think that if you can add to your plate, and that comes to meals as well, the more things you can add to it, the better, in terms of variety and stuff. And I guess that's the thing, isn't it? You know, if you bake a cake and have a slice out of it, not only is it assist, and I'm talking, you know, a standard Victoria sponge or whatever, you've made that cake, you've, all the time and effort that's gone into it has been incredibly good for your mental health, you've then produced something really quite delicious, you share it with friends and family, and you end up having a slice out of it, then that is probably the most wholesome thing you could ever do, and every one of the sort of calories you consume from that piece of cake is as nutritious as an apple and peanut butter.
Yeah, that's so lovely. I love the way you explained it.
Well, I just think it's balanced, so yeah.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Well, if people want to learn more about the joy of baking, they must get a copy of your book. It's called The Joy of Baking. It's by Steph Blackwell, who we've been chatting to. Steph, thanks so much for joining us. It's been lovely to chat.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.